Welcome to Connecting with the Word, where the uncompromised Word of God is taught so that people can grow into the image of Christ for His glory. We invite you to visit wordfellowship.org for more information. Join us now for this week's message.
Well, if you have a Bible, lift it up. Make this confession of your faith. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be. Everything says I can be. Acts 5, verse 16 says to me, and it came also a multitude out of the cities round about to Kennedy, to the Word Fellowship, bringing sick folks, them which are vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Everyone. Now just thank God with me, Lord. We just thank you for that. Father, I just give you praise, I give you honor, I give you glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Would you have your Bible? Look with me in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark the fourth chapter. Which one's easier? Dealing with your body when you're sick or when you're well? Maybe eating the right food, exercising. Which one's easier? Well, I think it's a lot easier to be well and to exercise and maybe eat the right food than to be sick and have to deal with that, because once you're sick, then you're sick. And so it's really easier to do some preventive maintenance so that you can keep well. What I want to talk to you this morning about is watch out lest you get offended. How many of you have ever been offended before? Huh? Only three people here have been offended. Y'all not breathing or something's not going on? Maybe you better kind of nudge somebody beside you and make sure they're awake. How many of you have ever been offended? Everybody's hand better go up, because everybody in this room has been offended. Well, the Bible talks about offense. And I thought about a couple things of where we get offended. Sometimes we get offended because maybe somebody said something about us that wasn't true. It said something about you, so you get offended, you get mad, you get upset. Maybe somebody did something to you. They did something to you that wasn't right, it wasn't correct, so you got upset. Now, please understand, if you've been here long, you would know that I preach, that I believe it's not right to hurt people. It's not right, but yet you're going to be hurt. It's not right as a Christian to hurt people. Somebody once said, well, you know, I can hurt them. I can ask for forgiveness later. It's not right. Yes, you can get forgiveness, but when you start doing things on purpose, you start hurting people on purpose because you think that you can get forgiven, it's not right. Not right in line with the Bible. And so then we think about somebody doesn't act the way that we think they ought to act. How many of you have been there? Somebody didn't act the way you thought they should act, and you got offended. Well, there's another thing in the Bible that talks about offense, and that's when you hear the Word of God. We'll read it in a minute. But you hear the Bible, taught, you're excited about it, but problems come, and the Bible says you get offended. You get mad at God. Now, there's three things that we want to look at this morning and just think about. Number one is that when you're offended, your faith isn't going to work. When you get offended, your faith will not work. Number two is when you get offended, it's going to keep you in the soulish realm. The soulish realm is the realm of the soul. It's the soul of your feelings. You hurt my feelings. Some of us ever had our feelings hurt? Our feelings are hurt. We're mad. We're upset about what's going on. So you're going to have a hard time getting out of that soulish realm. And the third thing is this, you're going to have a hard time hearing from God because you're in the soulish realm. And God doesn't speak to you in your soulish realm. God doesn't speak to your mind. God doesn't speak to your flesh. God speaks down deep on the inside of you in your heart, the Bible says. He speaks down deep on the inside. That's what's sometimes called that still small voice where he's speaking to you. But if you're in the soulish realm, you're going to have a hard time hearing from God. So notice here, if you would, in Mark, the fourth chapter, let's read verse 16 and verse 17. We're breaking into a thought, but in this thought, Jesus was talking about four soils. He said the soils represent your heart. not your blood pumper, but the spirit man, the real you. He said, these grounds are symbolic of your spiritual heart. And he said, the seed that is sown is the word of God. And so he said here, the second soil, verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. It said, afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. Now notice the words where it says this second soil, that the person has heard the word. And they're very excited about what they've heard. How many of you ever got excited about what you heard? You get excited about the Bible. Praise God. And you're so excited, but then comes a problem. How many of you that's ever happened? Well, you're excited about the Bible. Ooh, ooh. And then a problem comes. I have found that many times when you make a stand with God and for God, problems will come. You're making a stand for God and you're saying, oh, glory to God. You know, you're saying, praise God for healing. And maybe it was your leg that hurt. And now it's your leg and your head and your finger and everything else. How many of you have heard about, I got to make sure there's not any, well, too late now, about the blonde? How many of you heard about her? She went to the doctor and the doctor said, what's wrong with you? She said, I just hurt everywhere. He said, well, show me where you hurt. He said, well, I hurt here, and I hurt here, and I hurt here, and I hurt, and she just touching all over her body. The doctor looked at her and said, you know, we'll fix that broken finger in a minute. You didn't get it, ask somebody later. Sometimes you're believing God for things and it gets worse. What's happening? The Bible said right here, it says you received the word and you're excited about what you heard. Then it says there's no root. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, what does this come for? It's coming for the word. It's coming for the word. It's coming for the word. I wrote down a couple other translations. Some of the translation says because of the word. The Passion Translation says on account of the message that you've heard. In other words, Satan is coming for the word. He's coming to get the word because if you'll hold on to the word of God, if you won't give up on the word of God will start producing in your life. And if the word of God is not producing in your life, then you need to check up on what you're doing. Because the Bible says that there will be production in the 20th verse. He said, the one that hears the word and keeps it. Not keeping it like you keep the law, but in other words, hears it and does it. Hears and does what the word, the Bible said, they'll start to be production. It may start small, but it'll grow. He said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. How many of you'd like to have 100-fold on what you believe in God for? How many of you'd just like to see, just snap your fingers and see everything that you believe God for? Well, the Bible said there's a place that you can come to, but you got to get to the 30 first. And you got to get to the 60. In other words, it starts producing. You've planted seed. How many of you ever planted a seed before? The plant doesn't come up automatically. You start with a seed and it begins to come out little by little by little. And all of a sudden you have fruit. All of a sudden you have the flower. All of a sudden you have the bloom. All of a sudden you have that. But it didn't start like that. It started with a seed. And so it says that immediately they're offended. Immediately. No time span. It says instantly, immediately, they get offended. Why? Why? Because Satan's coming after the seed. He's coming after the word of God. So what does he do? He brings problems into your life. And when he can bring problems into your life, he can get your attention off the word of God. When he gets your attention off the word of God, then the word of God's not going to produce. That's exactly where he wants you to be. That's exactly where Satan wants you to be. Where the word of God's not produced in your life. So what does it mean here where it says offended? Here's some definitions. Offended from the Webster says this, to cause displeasure. I'm displeased. How many of us have ever said, I'm not pleased with you? Maybe you said it to your children. Maybe you said it to a coworker. Maybe you said it to your pastor. You said it to people. I'm not pleased. It means anger. Resentment. How many of you have got resentment against someone? You resent them. You're resenting them. How many of you have wounded feelings? To be wounded. You've been hurt. You've been hurt. It also means to entrap, to trip up. It means apostasy, and apostasy is a Bible word, and it means this, to walk away. Some other translations use those terms that instead of they get offended, it says, and they walk away from God. They walk away from the things of God. You heard the word, you're excited about it, problems come, and instead of realizing this is coming to get the word of God from me, I'm making my stand, you just walk away from God. How many of you ever known somebody? I know you've never done it, but how many of you ever walked away from God? How many of you have just walked away and said, you know what, it's not worth it. This doesn't work. It's not changing my life. It's not changing anything. And so you walk away from the things of God. Now, thank God many people have walked away, but they came back. There was a minister that made this statement. He said, I quit many a Sunday night, but he said, I join back up every Monday morning. You know, as a minister, I've got to believe the same thing I'm telling you. I don't have some easy way with God because I'm a pastor. I don't have some easy way with God because I'm a minister. I got to believe. I got to do what I'm telling you to do. I can't go any other way. If I go any other way, I'll not have results. There's some things I'm believing God for, and sometimes it looks like it's not happening. Sometimes it seems like it's not happening. Sometimes it just looks like, seems like, and even acts like it's not going to happen. But I just got to keep on saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm not giving up on the Word of God. I'm keeping my seed in the soil. I'm keeping my seed in the soil. Being here in South Texas, some of you would know. Some of you would know that as farmers would plant corn, sometimes it's something that follows them at night. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's called wild hogs. And they'll burrow, and they'll get right there where the seed's been planted, and they'll go right down the row, and they'll eat the seed. Well, you got to keep your seed in the ground or you're not going to have any harvest. There's not going to be a harvest where somebody's taking the seed out of the ground. You can look and say, I planted the seed. I planted the seed. Why isn't it coming up? Because there's no seed in the ground. See, the Bible said everything operates in the kingdom of God as a seed. You got to keep your seed in the ground. You got to keep your seed in the ground. Satan comes and tries to get your seed out of the ground. He tries to get you upset. He tries to get you mad at God. I've had people that say, I'm mad at God. I'm mad at God because of what's going on. It's not God's problem. Jesus Christ has already done everything he's going to do for you. He wants to see you successful in life. God is not against you. He is for you. But so many times we start listening to the world and we listen to even other Christians and they say, well, God's doing that to you. God's doing that to you. Listen, God's good. God wants to see you successful. He wants to see you be everything that the Word of God said you can be. But you got to keep your seed in the ground. You got to keep your seed in the ground. How do I keep my seed in the ground? I don't get offended. I don't get mad. I don't get upset when things aren't going my way. I keep on saying, glory, 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 glory. The Word of God is working. The Word of God is working no matter what the circumstance, what I feel or see. We just sang a song a while ago, Waymaker. Oh, the Waymaker, miracle worker. And then we come in life and we say, it's not working. Well, we ought to say, he was the miracle worker then. Let's change it, Jennifer. Let's change that song. He was the miracle worker. No, he is the miracle worker. And when it doesn't look like it, he's working. And when it doesn't seem like it, he's working. He's working in lives today. The Bible said in the book of Revelation that your prayers, the prayer of the saints, are held in the presence of God. Prayers that you've offered. So don't give up. Don't quit. Satan wants to get you to give up and quit. Wants to get you mad. Wants to get you upset. Wants to get you mad at people. Get mad at the pastor. Get mad at the person sitting next to you. Get mad at somebody. That's what Satan wants. He wants you mad, upset. Why? Because that's pulling the seed out of the ground. Pulling the seed out of the ground. Let me read this to you out of what's called the Amplified Classic Bible. It's another translation there, and it says in verse 17, and they have no real root in themselves. There's no real root. And so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble, persecution arises on the account of the word, it's coming for the word. It's coming for the word of God. He says they are immediately are offended. They become displeased, indignant, resentful. And they stumble and they fall away. They stumble and they fall away. Look at somebody and tell them they stumble and fall away. They stumble and they fall away. They fall away. Well, you don't want to do that. I don't want you to do that. I have to be honest with you, as a pastor in this many years, I've seen a lot of people come and a lot of people go. I've seen a lot of people come, a lot of people go. If everybody that called this their church, you would have had to have been waiting outside. But see, sometimes people get upset because they say, it didn't happen like I thought. Or this happened or that happened. Listen to me, God's for you. God's not against you. Satan is against you. He wants to destroy you. So with that thought in mind, with God, what does God want in your life? He wants us to hear the word, keep hearing the word, keep hearing the word, paying attention to the word, paying attention to the word. How many of you know that in this room there's radio waves? How many of you know that in this room there's TV waves? In this room there's cell phone waves. Because if you turned your cell phone on, it's going to work. If we had a radio in here, it would receive the signal. If you had a TV in here, rabbit ears. How many of you remember rabbit ears? I see how old you are. Rabbit ears? What are rabbit ears? Well, it was two little antennas, and we used to wrap foil on them. Try to get a little extra out of it. Well, all of that's here. But you know the problem is? Right now in your hand, I'm looking around. Maybe you have a cell phone in your hand. You're using that to look at the Bible. But we don't have a receiver. I don't have a radio here. That's the receiver. I don't have a TV here. That's a receiver. I don't have my cell phone. That's my receiver. The signals are here. What does God want us to do? He wants us to hear it and receive it. Now, how many of us, as parents, maybe as a teacher, Sunday school teacher, school teacher, dealing with others, maybe at your job, you've had to give somebody instructions and they didn't receive them. You said, now please do this. And they didn't do it. Maybe as a teacher, you said, please get out your pen and your paper and take this test. And they just sat there and looked at you. They didn't receive. What do we have to have? We got to have our receiver working. We got to have our receiver going. And that's what he's talking about, hearing and doing the word of God. It's not just hearing it, it's doing it and responding. You got your receiver on, I'm receiving the message, and I'm going to do what the Bible said to do. So here it says that in Mark 4:20 that God wants you to hear and do. Let's just read it right quickly. Mark 4:20. It says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. They receive it. They take hold of it. Their receiver's on. You're hearing it, you're doing it. You're hearing it, you're doing it. It doesn't do any good. We've been looking, last couple Sundays, we were talking about hearing and doing. It doesn't do any good just to hear. You got to do what you hear. And so then he said, they hear the word, they receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So what does God want? He wants us to come to the place where the word of God starts producing in our lives. How does that happen? The Bible says the word of God has to get root on the inside of you. And then the third ground, we won't look very much, but I'll just make reference to it. It says you get distracted. How many of you ever get distracted? Maybe you're doing a certain thing. You're doing something and all of a sudden maybe the phone rings. Maybe your doorbell rings. Maybe somebody comes to your house and you get distracted from what you're doing. Maybe a child needs help doing something. You get distracted. Well, we don't want to get distracted. I don't want you to get distracted. Well, what does Satan want in your life? He wants to see you fail. He wants to see you fail. He wants you to get mad at God. He wants you to get upset with God and to begin to say the word isn't working. The Bible doesn't work. Have you ever heard anybody tell you that? As a pastor, I've had people tell me the Bible doesn't work. The Bible doesn't work. I said, yeah, you're getting what you're saying. Doesn't work. You keep saying that, and that's what's going to happen. It's not going to work in your life. But I say it's working in Jesus' wonderful name. Now hold your place here if you have a Bible, and look with me in Hebrews chapter 3. Why is it so important for us not to get offended? To get offended when problems come and when situations come, when people may not treat us right, when people may say things about us that aren't right. You know, it's just so easy to get upset in life and stay in that soulish realm, in the mental realm, the physical realm, the realm of the feelings. In Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews 3:12, it says, "Take heed, brethren." What's take heed? Pay attention. It said, pay attention. "Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Notice those words, "in departing from the living God." Now, if you've been around much, you know that in the body of Christ there's certain teachings that tell you you can't depart from God, but it says right here you can. This is written to believers. It's not written to the world. It's written to believers and said, "Beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Why is it so important for us to realize that we cannot get offended? Because many times what it says offended is that they walk away from God. They get upset and they walk away from God. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to do, is to walk away from God and say, "The Bible doesn't work." You know why? You know why that's so important? You know why that's so important? Anybody know why that is so important? It is so important because if Satan can influence you, you'll go and tell other people it doesn't work. You'll tell other people it doesn't work. But the Word of God does work. I'll boldly declare to you, the Word of God works. If you'll stand upon the Word of God, you won't give up, you won't back away, you won't back down. If you'll stand and you'll say, "It works in Jesus' name." But you've got to be bold. You've got to be bold. You've got to be bold in Jesus' name. You've got to be bold. I was years ago helping a certain family. It was outside of the church type thing. I was helping them, and I went to their house, and I went up, drove up. There was a fence around the house. There was a gate there. I opened the gate. I walked in. I knocked on the door, and the man of the home opened the door, and his eyes were about this big, and he's looking at me, and he said, "What are you doing on my porch? I'm here to talk to you." We're friends. I know him. I said, "I'm here to talk." He said, No. "What are you doing on my porch?" "I'm here to talk to you." He said, No. He said, "Look behind you." And laying on the ground was a full-grown Doberman Pinscher. Full-grown. He said, "You are the only person that has ever walked into this yard that dog did not attack him." Well, God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Can I come into the house? What was it? When you walk and you carry your life, that God is with you. He'll protect you. Now, you may have some mean dogs. I don't know, some of you do. I'm not going to tempt God. I'm not going to come to your house and let's see what happens. But I'm just telling you, this man was shocked. He said, "Nobody has ever walked on and stood on our porch before." You see, when you understand who you are, you understand. You know, somebody recently told me, said, "Aren't you afraid to fly? Aren't you afraid to go into Mexico? Don't you know what's going on?" You know what the problem with that is? People are not afraid to go to Mexico. They're not afraid to fly. You know what they're afraid of? They're afraid of dying. And that which you're afraid of, you must gain victory over. And you'll not gain victory over it just by saying, I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. That doesn't scare me. You begin to understand who you are in Jesus Christ. What does Jesus say? He said, you can take this body, but you can't kill me. Take this body, but you can't kill me because there's a real person on the inside. The real man or woman that's in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm not afraid to go. I'm not afraid. Hallelujah. Why? Because we've got seed on the inside of us. I've got seed on the inside of me that tells me I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ. God has not given me a spirit of fear. You know, there's so much fear in life right now. So many people are afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Listen, you've got to overcome that. You've got to overcome that fear and understand who that you are. See, there's seed that's been planted on the inside of you. There is seed that has been planted on the inside of you. Don't pull the seed up. And don't let Satan pull the seed out of you. Don't let him pull it out of you. Stand with the things of God. Stand with the Word of God. So what does Satan want to do? He wants to what? Get the Word of God from you. So don't depart from God. You know the problem really with that second soil we're looking at in Mark 4? Is there's unbelief. Don't let there be, he said, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. It's unbelief. Now if you held your place, look with me in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, we'll start in verse 1. Mark 6, 1. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, and he went out from thence, came into his own country, and the disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were, what? Astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this that is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And it says, and they were what? They were offended at him. Why? Remember, that word offended is to stay in the what? The soulish realm. See, they couldn't understand. They said, we know who you are. We know your brothers. We know your sisters. We know who you are. They got mad. They got mad at him. Why? Because get in offense. You're in the soulish realm, in the mind, the will, the feelings, the emotions. So how many of you know what happens when somebody gets offended? There's one of two things that happens when a person gets offended. Number one, you either run to God. You run to the Bible. You run to the Word of God. You run to a brother or sister in Christ to help you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to tell you you can overcome. Or the number two thing, and this happens to so many lives, you run to somebody, but when you run to them, you tell them how bad the other person is. How many of you have ever done that? You've been hurt, and you went and told somebody, you know what they did to me? Come on now. You know what they said to me? Sometimes in a husband and wife relationship. You know what my wife did? You know what my husband did? Maybe you're a co-worker. And so now you're talking to others. I want you to turn and look with me in Proverbs 18:17. Last verse we'll look at this morning, Proverbs 18 and verse 17. I didn't say I was quitting. I just said that's the last verse. Just want to. You know, a pastor, it's one thing bad about pastors is what? We got to have about four endings. We're just in our first. Proverbs 18 and verse 17. It says, he that is first in his own cause, this is Proverbs 18, 17, seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. Now listen to this out of the Amplified Classic Bible. It says, he who states his case first seems right, until his rival comes and cross-examines him. How many ever heard somebody tell their side of the story, and then you heard somebody else tell their side of the story, and it was not matching? Was it matching? Years ago, I had a gentleman come that he was coming to church here. They'd moved to town, and he began to talk to me about his wife. That's why I don't like to counsel when you only have one person. You got something between somebody, you get both people to come. So he said all these things about his wife, and I said, you know, let's set up a meeting. Let's bring your wife in here. And so when his wife came in, if you've ever been in my office, there's three chairs here, there's a lampstand here, and there's three more chairs, and then my desk, I'm looking at them. And my peripheral view, I can see Arlene there. Wave to me, Arlene. See, I could see that. I could see her waving at me. And so why I'm telling you this is I'm looking at the lady and she's talking and I can see the man. And the more the wife, you know, you ought to know there's trouble when one's sitting on this side of the lampstand and this one's sitting on the other side. And the woman is talking, and I can see in the peripheral view, and the more the woman talks, I'm seeing the man go in his chair. He's going down, down, down. He's getting smaller and smaller in the chair. I stopped her, and I said, ma'am, I said, I'm going to ask you to do something. She said, what? I said, I'm going to ask you to forgive me. She said, forgive you for what? I said, because that dirty dog, I don't know if I call him that or not, but that's what I was thinking. He told me a story. And I said, I can see right now he's lying. And I said, please forgive me. I wanted to deal with her first. I said, please forgive me, because I believed him. And I looked at him and I said, who's telling the truth here? You or her? And he said, her. I already knew it. Because I saw him squirming. You see, it sounded good what he said till I heard the other side. And I'm just telling you, many times people will come and they'll tell you things, and then you hear the other side, and it doesn't match. And that's what he's talking about in this verse. Don't ever believe just one person. Don't ever just believe what one person says. Because what will happen is you'll take sides. And when you take sides when somebody's hurt, you'll take on their hurt. And there's many of you in life that you've been hurt when you weren't even involved. It's something that happened in somebody else's life, but you took the hurt. You took the hurt. You got upset because of what happened to somebody else. And you shouldn't have to take somebody else's hurt. But you did it because you didn't understand the Bible. We got quiet in here. Because many people have been hurt over what happened in somebody else's life. It did not involve you. But what you did is that you listened to what somebody said. See, a godly person will go to God and say, God, I need help here. I'm hurting, God. Lord, I'm hurting. This isn't right. What I'm going through, what was done to me, what was said about, this is not right. But God, I can't do anything about it, but you can. So I'm asking, you know the greatest way to overcome hurt? Do you know the greatest way that you can overcome hurt? Now, before I tell you, I'm going to ask you if you're going to do it. Will you do it? Will anybody do what I'm telling you to do to overcome hurt? Will you do it? Somebody said, I'll do it if it's easy. The greatest way to overcome hurt is to start praying for the person that hurt you. Start praying for them. Start praying for them. I can't do that. You're not over the hurt then. How do I know when I get over the hurt? To the place that you can say, God, bless them. Now, many people are praying and say, God, curse them. God, I'm praying that bad will happen to them. Come on now. Don't y'all get religious on me. Huh? How many of you may not have prayed it, but you thought it. You wanted bad to happen. That's not godly. Well, they hurt me. They shouldn't have hurt you, I understand. But what are we going to do? We're going to start praying for them. God, move in their life. God, I'm not going to speak to anybody else about this. Doesn't mean you don't ever speak about it, but in counsel you may talk to somebody. But many times all we're doing is we're trying to make somebody else's candle be blown out. You never make your light brighter by blowing somebody else's candle out. So you begin to pray for that person. You begin to pray. And when you're standing on the Word of God and it looks like nothing's changing, it looks like nothing's happening, what do? You keep on standing. Don't dig your seed out of the soil by saying it's not working. Nothing's changing. Nothing's happening. I wrote this down. I'll close with this. Actually close. It says, when you change your focus, you can change your feelings. When you stop looking at the hurt, when you stop looking at what happened to you, when you stop looking at it didn't work, when you start saying, thank God, the word is working, it'll begin to work in your life. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, I thank you that you are moving in our lives here this morning. We refuse here. We're making a stand. We refuse to be hurt and offended. We refuse to walk away. I refuse to walk away from you, to walk away from your word, to walk away from the Spirit of God.
Thanks for listening to Connecting with the Word. You can stay connected with us at wordfellowship.org or by following us on Instagram and Facebook. Our mission at the Word Fellowship is simple. It's that people will grow into the image of Jesus through the uncompromised Word of God being taught. If you're in the Kennedy area, we would love to have you join us this weekend. You can check out wordfellowship.org for location and service times. We hope to see you soon.